Today on Criminal Minds, we talk about Reed finally getting out of prison and more crazy women. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yes, hello everybody. Welcome back to AfterBuzz TV. We are here doing Criminal Minds After Show Season 12, Episode 21. Green Light, the penultimate episode of this
penultimate
season. Ultimate is such a great word. I'm your host, Marissa Serafini. You can follow me on Twitter at SerafiniTV. We have a full panel today.
Yeah, we do.
Yay. I'm Michelle Cullen. You can find me on Twitter at Michelle_Cullen.
And I'm Karina Vargas. You can find me everywhere on Twitter and Instagram at KarinaXVRGS.
Chris Howard. Reach me at Chris Howard Live on Twitter and Instagram.
Excellent. Green Light. Real quick thoughts about this episode. It was so good.
It was really good. There were a couple twists where you didn't know which way they were going to take it until it happened, and I think that's really powerful television, especially leading up to the season finale.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It was shocking. A lot of the things, like you said, you didn't see it coming, and I was like, oh my god, like they really went there, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, really, really fantastic. I just think the show's been getting better and better every episode. I've been loving it.
I know. And you know what was funny? Watching this episode, that so much was packed into this episode, it was only 40 minutes long. It wasn't 42 minutes or 41 as a normal runtime for an hour-long drama. This was 40 minutes long.
Tight.
For sure. Let's get into it. Well, we saw at the end of last episode where we think Carol Atkinson is the new quote-unquote nurse for Diana. She's not. She's Lindsay. And we found out more about her. She's been living in the apartment next, you know, like right down the hallway from Reed. Your thoughts of this and how she weaseled her way into Reed's life and following him for the last 6 months.
Creepy as fudge.
Yeah.
As fudge. Fudge isn't creepy.
Keeping us from getting that rating. That was creepy and messed up.
Yeah.
It was. The whole scene where, like, they said that she was the one in the apartment next door, I was like, oh, well, when they, you know, spoiler alert, found Cassie in their dead, I was like, okay, that's why she wanted to do that, to kind of send a message to Reed and like their team.
Yeah.
No, I mean, but not unusual also. I mean, who's the killer usually? Somebody that knows you, somebody that's next door, somebody that's right there. And the fact that she was stalking him before that, it makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like Reed, we saw at the beginning with the whole flashback interrogation, kind of more so interview with you know, Tara and Prentice, and when they're like trying to figure out that this is Lindsay now, but there was the whole question, like, how the heck did she get out of witness protection?
Yeah, because they weren't believing him in the beginning, like the way that they were like, are you sure it's her? And then Reed was like, yes, it's her, like, I know what I saw and stuff. And I was like, wow, they're really not taking his side right now.
To be fair, that's such a random name to throw out. Like, 10 years later, it's this chick.
Right, from season 3.
Do you remember this scene?
Season 3.
And they're like, really? It's her? But we've been on Scratch this entire season. Are we sure we're going to throw that one away?
And it had Scratch's M.O., so it's hard to believe that it would be this other person from, you know,
it's
long back when.
Right. Yeah. But also, I mean, you got to, if you go back to that episode, she was kind of psychotic a little bit. A bit of psycho. Quite the psychopath in that episode, too. Because she was the one egging on her father to kill the unsub, which normal girls wouldn't.
Oh, come now.
Not in the way that she did.
Kill him, daddy. Kill him. You wouldn't say that?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No,
all right. Just checking.
Not like egging a mom with a shotgun right in front of me. No, heck no. But she's, quote unquote, crazy enough to pull this off. To give us, the audience, enough motivation and reasoning that we can believe that she's the one behind all this. But what did you think of now knowing that she's been out of witness protection program for 5 years and she's been using her own father's shotgun with empty ballistics, but using his personal, pretty much MO, killing all these people in the last 5 years?
Well, I think, like they said, it wasn't, she probably wasn't doing intentionally. I think it was more of like a subconscious, like, okay, I'm gonna just do this. But the fact that, like, they were saying that she could have been like a hitmen from like the cartel and stuff like that. I was like, well, that kind of makes sense with the whole scratch scenario and wanting to get the drugs that Reed wanted for Diana. So I was like, I guess that kind of made sense.
How old is she now?
Well, she was a teenager back in 2007.
And if it was 10 years ago?
Let's say she was 15 and she's 25, so she left WITSEC.
She's like
at
mid-20s
20.
Now. Yeah.
So leaving WITSEC, probably hard to get a gun.
Yeah. Well, they dropped the line that she probably hid the shotgun before WITSEC found it.
Because she's a psychopath.
But it's part of the thing, too. Though. I mean, think of, you know, the Kylo Ren wants the lightsaber of Darth Vader. You know, it's like the same thing. It's like you gotta. There's legacy to the way that they're doing it and stuff. And
she's a daddy's girl.
Yeah.
So I liked how, you know, we're talking about episodes, how they're going off format, you know. But there was a little bit of profiling in this episode. Mm-hmm. Just a little bit on Lindsay. But, you know, finding all this.
They had a lot to figure out. Yeah. So
Well, now they have to do a whole nother profile because they didn't realize it was a woman instead of a man.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And it was someone that they already knew.
So they had to reprofile her.
10 years later.
Yeah.
Like, add more to her already messed up life. But now even tracking down her father in Wisconsin. I like the way that Elvis went about it. Like, everyone had to pull strings on their ends to get things happening.
He had to blackmail the guy a little, huh?
Yeah. Just a little bit.
Did, like, two blackmail. Well, one was follow-through. So
he
played dirty. He played very dirty this episode.
I kind of liked it.
I did, too.
Well, they all kind of did. They were all, somebody, one of you just said that they were all bending the rules and stuff. I'm shocked that with... just by presenting the little amounts of evidence that they had, that Prentice was able to secure his release from prison. That's like, really? I mean, I suppose it could happen, but it seemed far-fetched. But I bought it still. I mean, I bought it as part of the story.
Yeah, let's talk about that moment, because I think this was an amazing moment with Prentice. Yeah, you go, girl. when they had to build this, you know, paper trail evidence just to get Reed out of prison. But actually, having the audacity to go up to the judge.
I know.
I love this.
This judge.
And the other guy who was there, the AUSA guy who was like batting down everything she was saying. I'm like, shut the F up, dude.
You almost said it. Honestly,
but he was so annoying. But I love Prentice and how she conducted herself in this meeting and the judge's reaction, too. Like, she was rolling her eyes at that dude.
Yeah. I was surprised by the judge initially because she was so harsh in the courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she was. And so unforgiving of the actions and put him in Gen Pop and had no problem, like, revoking bail. And
that was
then
weird.
Had this complete 180 due to circumstantial evidence, which was just kind of fascinating to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, see, I guess it was probably on the conviction of Prentice alone that he was innocent and that they were putting a case together that for who had actually done it. But yeah, shocking to me as well.
And I think also because the way that Prentice went about it and was talking about, well, this is the person who may be targeting the team for a while and the background of what she was saying, I felt like that kind of helped her in that way.
Yeah, and Prentice is not one who bends the rules in this way often.
Yeah. So she's got the credibility.
Yeah, even the judge was like, you know, her calling a meeting like this is very, you know, unprecedented, pretty much. So, you know, it's serious. The Prentice is actually doing something about it in this way. I loved how Prentice acknowledged it, though. It's legal. It's inappropriate. I'm like, but you go, girl. Prentice just rocked in this episode. She rocks every episode.
It was good. Reed's the one who still keeps impressing me. The prison scenes were my favorite scenes again. Really awesome.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. But Reed in the prison, because now that all of his jail friends are back, or prison friends more so, his prison friends are released from...
So they're not hurting from whatever they snorted or smoked or whatever they did.
But they're in it for him. So he has to get himself into solitary confinement.
Did you
see this go down in the way that it was?
Well, can I ask you one question first? Because I didn't catch the episode last week. Did they figure out that it was him that did it?
No.
Did we ever saw that.
But the guys who were affected, who used the poison drugs, like, pretty much could figure out that.
Right, so it's kind of clear. But no, but they didn't show that they figured it out, because that would have been D-Day for him, you know.
But they knew. They had it in for Reed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now having Reed set up Shaw to make it look like he stabbed him, did you see this happening?
Shocking. I did not.
I didn't at first. I honestly thought he was going to break and stab someone.
So did I. I thought he was going to stab the guy.
Yeah, me too.
And then he still would have gone into solitary, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I felt like he would get charged for more, or maybe it would have been harder for him.
If he broke, then he wouldn't be getting out right now, right?
Because I thought he was making the little knife or whatever.
Shank.
The shank to protect himself in case, like, they attacked first. I didn't think he was probably going to be the one who attacked.
Yeah.
The first time. And I just did not see it coming out. I was like, that is so smart.
I know.
It was
smart.
To stab himself.
But that's scary, that cool toughness that he's been developing in there, you know? It's like Rambo will sew himself up, and Reed will stab himself if he needs to.
It's like John McClane shooting himself just to get the other dude.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I like this moment. I didn't see it coming, but I really enjoyed it because it showed that Reed's not—he's willing to get dirty, but he's not willing to hurt others.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's still that good guy. Got himself in solitary confinement. Smart.
Yeah, that's it. You're right, though, in terms of that really displays his character still. It was like a huge display of character that not only is he tough, but he's still the same guy at heart. I think that's cool.
Yeah.
And how smart he still is. You know, how it didn't quite, being in prison, affect him as much in his smartness.
And it didn't change, yeah.
Well, really, prison is
smartness isn't a real word, by the way.
Oh, it
isn't? Sorry.
Smartness? It's not?
No, I think it's a great word. I think it's great.
Well, it's my word now.
I'm joking.
His intelligence.
When he comes out and he says, there's X's and Y's, and he says, well, I don't see anything except for the obvious that they're X and Y chromosomes. I'm like, who was that obvious to? Was that obvious?
Yeah, I got that.
That's super obvious.
It was obvious to you too?
Yeah.
Okay. Our smartness is at the same level as theirs.
The male-female chromosome.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. All right.
I was in advanced biology. Sorry. Other than that.
I was going to say, I imagine prison becoming like this giant chess game for Reed. Everyone's a pawn. Yeah. Everyone has their role. Everyone has moves and counter moves, and how do you avoid checkmate?
No, that's cool. And they kept having the metaphor in there of playing the chess game while they're
smartness.
Doing it.
Smartness.
Oh, shit!
It is a word.
Oh, smartness is a word.
Smartness.
Grammar kind.
Yes. And I didn't recognize the X and Y chromosomes either.
Maybe.
So my smartness is at an all-time low.
We're checking everyone's intelligence.
Okay, you're a little bit smarter than I am.
Okay.
I'm the least, and these
she
two are the
smart.
She has
more smartness than you.
Smartnesses.
Smartness.
I think maybe I didn't use it in the right sentence.
Maybe not in the right sentence.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Lack of smartness.
Thank you, James. All right.
Thanks a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm glad he didn't affect it, you know. Someone else. He didn't stab him.
Yeah.
But it's affecting Garcia. She even turns in her letter of resignation. What?
I freaked out. I refused to accept that as a twist.
Nope.
We have one more episode before I can be calm about that.
You know what? Like, it could be early predictions, but Baby Boo. Baby Boy, when he comes back, he's going to convince her to stay. It's going to work.
Yeah.
He better.
Yeah. But I mean,
when Derek Morgan comes back, he'll be fine.
She says she would only resign if Reed died.
Right.
So she was like, that's the only reason why she would resign. Yeah. So.
I mean, I feel like that's also setting up a little nugget for maybe season 13 or 14 if they get renewed for 14.
Good.
Of every case they have chips away at who she is as a human being, and she's been doing it for 12 years.
Yeah.
Could be, or in the finale, he could die. He could just come right back from prison. Only to get killed.
Don't say that.
No. You keep pushing for death, and it makes me sad.
No.
I just like the things
it
that grip.
It is upsetting.
I'm kind of disturbed at this.
But wouldn't that be, that would rock your world. That would be like.
Not really.
They
just rock my world.
They cannot kill one of these characters without risking losing so much viewership that it puts the show in jeopardy. Like, I'm just going to say that.
I know. But this show.
With the year they've had.
No, it's early. Like, the season they have. This show does a great job of having the characters leave for a long period of time and having them come back. So, God forbid, if Reed does leave, there's always an opportunity for him to come back.
That's true.
Right. Unless they kill him off.
But he could come back as a ghost. You didn't see ghosts.
Or in past. little
flashbacks.
Thank you.
That's true.
I don't want flashbacks. I don't want flashbacks.
You have a point.
But yeah. They usually don't do that either, because with Gideon, they never did flashbacks when he left.
That was an extenuating circumstance.
Yes, very extenuating circumstance. They used a whole different actor.
Yeah, it is true.
Shouldn't be funny.
I mean, I love Savage.
Mandy Patinkin.
Ben Savage was great as
Ben
a young...
Savage was great.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. We digress. Okay, yeah. But I say the best moment emotionally in this episode was when JJ finally goes to get Reed. Mm-hmm. We're taking you home.
Oh, I love that.
So good.
That was just
a magical moment. Tears welled up in my eyes when I'm watching it. Like, yes!
I was looking at her eyes to see if she was crying. No, I'm like, I want to see if she's crying.
You missed it last week. I cried.
Did you?
I'm
sorry.
I was like, oh, yay, because I was super stressed that because he was playing Calvin Shaw's letter to himself over in his head, which kind of builds it up to, is he going to die or is he going to get out? You hope for one, but you're prepared for the other, but at the same time, you're not prepared
for death?
No, well, they set it up. Like, they put him into an empty room. He's literally looking around. He's like, am I going to get, attacked?
With the voiceover of Calvin Shaw going, I have reach everywhere in here. You are not safe.
Yeah.
Not in this place.
And then the door opens, and it's sweet JJ.
Yeah. Aww. Her eyes were red.
Says the most magical sentence, we're taking you home.
We're taking you home. In my notes, it's like all caps, yes.
And what about Alves going back in and saying that how he's roughing the guy up again? He's like, it's going to be
so
nasty.
Good.
The Bratva are waiting for you. It's like,
Do you think they hold grudges?
Do you think they hold grudges?
Oh, that was... Alves has a dark side.
I know.
Yeah, that was a little darkness, right?
I love it.
I like it. Pretty boy has a dark side.
Yeah. Pretty...
FCI Milan. He's being transferred. I was like, yes. Because, if you think about it, Shaw did turn his back against all the FBI. I was like, that's kind of like treason within, your own technical family, your work family.
And it makes sense for him to be transferred, too, because if it comes out that he was dealing drugs and he was doing all the stuff that he was doing, it makes sense for him to have some penalty or have to go someplace or to change the scene,
Right. But it really shows, like you were saying, a dark side of Alves, because we saw a couple episodes ago where he threatened Shaw, and he actually saw through it, which was, what else is he capable of?
Yeah.
Blackmailing his witness protection friend, and then now this guy.
I don't know.
Wouldn't it be cool if he went dirty?
Dark side. Ooh.
No, Chris, it wouldn't be cool. All right.
Thinking about it.
Yeah.
I love this. It was their hug, and even Garcia at the moment when he finally gets out.
Yeah.
Only just to now find that the whole big reveal once they finally get the address of they think is Lindsay's place. It's actually Kat Adams.
Kat Adams, which we mentioned
mentioned on the Plaza.
I geeked out. Last week. I geeked out about the fact that we mentioned it last week.
Mm-hmm. And then it actually happened.
And then it actually happened. But I was also really disappointed that it wasn't Scratch at all, and he's actually not been included in this entire experience.
Yeah, but my question is, how did Kat Adams know about Scratch? Did their paths ever cross? Does Kat Adams know that Scratch has been, toying with the whole BAU
and
unit?
Maybe she's lying. Criminals usually aren't that truthful. So he still could be involved.
Yeah,
somehow.
I still feel
it's
like
possible.
He's involved. Maybe with Kat and somehow, and they might take this on to the next season and then really finish that.
Because she went to prison before the prison breakout.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, did she?
So they could have crossed paths.
They could have.
It's all possible.
They could have. I'm just questioning because she's been in prison for like a year and a half now, and Scratch has been around for about 2 years now,
and she's only been in solitary confinement for 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, how did she plan this whole elaborate, framing situation, knowing about Scratch, knowing that also has ties to BAU? Did she even know about Scratch's MO?
And you kind of wonder if the FBI really has to deal with this type of stuff. People trying to set them up and people trying to come after them and stuff.
It's possible.
I'm sure to a point they do. Different cases.
Huh.
People that get angry at them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Well, I mean, now we have like two crazy girls. Two crazy women.
We got three.
I know. We have three here and then two on the show. But now, like, who's the, I don't want to say, like, the bigger nemesis, but now we have Kat Adams and
Lindsay. Well, it seemed like Kat was in charge, didn't it? I mean, Lindsay seemed like a pawn.
But they're both psychopaths.
Yeah. Right.
Well, Lindsay's actually out, so she's the one who's doing the actual work.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because she was shooting
Kat
people
Adams
and stuff.
Adams had been pulling the strings all along, so they quit.
Puppet master.
But she was doing that for 5 years, so I'm like, did Kat reach out to Lindsay?
We don't know.
You know? Like,
we don't know. These are the questions.
If she's been doing that for 5 years, I'm thinking, okay, well, something else triggered Lindsay to start killing people before the whole Reed situation.
I think she just
Lindsay's just crazy.
Yeah. I think she just wanted to kill people.
Yeah.
This is like 15
And birds of a feather flock together. And cats scratch, so maybe scratch is in there still.
I know. It's you're cat, crazy, I'm scratch. Crazy, let's be crazy together.
Yeah.
Exactly.
More so.
Augment our craziness.
That's exactly how the conversation went.
That's what we said when we were launching this show.
I'm crazy.
Like, you love Criminal Minds, so do I. Let's talk about it.
You're crazy.
I'm crazy. But it's just all these questions now with the big reveals. Like, how did they even cross paths, and how did they even know about Scratch, who was terrorizing the BA unit from the beginning?
Big questions.
Any questions? Any answers on your part?
No.
Any thoughts?
No.
Mm-mm. No.
No.
Big mystery. Although, because, and next week's the season finale, yeah? So they're going to tie together a lot of pieces. I think we've still got a lot to find out, yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot to discover.
Well, also, the crazy thing with Lindsay is that she was looking for the same drugs that Scratch has been using, scopolamine, and sevoflurane.
Yes.
Wow.
So she has access to the actual drugs.
Yeah, and so are these real drugs? They must be.
These must be
real things that people use.
Well, you know, they tracked her whereabouts. It was like, why would she go from Los Indios to Metamora?
Right, and then back.
And then back when they killed the guy. Yep. What's his name? I have his name.
Victor Flores.
Yeah, Victor Flores. Mm. When
there's
Lindsay
a lot
killed
to be revealed.
Victor to get his truck the day before she framed
when they found the truck, you should have saw everybody at the table was like, finally!
They had the truck.
It happened in that episode, and the truck was never brought up ever again until this moment. And I was thank you.
Thank you. Hello.
There was another car, and they didn't chase it.
Right.
Well, we know where it was dumped two states over.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It was did they find it in the States? In the U.S.?
They said, it was two states over.
Yeah, but the states of Mexico or states in the U.S.? Because when it went down, it was in Mexico, right? So the truck must have
crossed the border.
Yeah.
Okay.
They said two states over, so I'm guessing that it crossed into U.S.
Assuming.
Territory.
Although there's states over there, too, so it could be, who knows.
Monterey's and...
There you go, those types of...
Different jurisdiction, you know. There was a lot of tracking in this episode. Yeah. Back and forth, it kind of went all over the place. Hence this after that. But I like it. It's nice to get more answers, but it left bigger questions, obviously, because we're still wondering.
Yep. You're like, what do you think is going to happen next week? I literally have no idea.
I have no
idea. And Jane Lynch is still on the brink, too, right? She's isn't she close to dying? Like, she's not gonna...
Well, according... Diane is abducted. We don't know where she is.
According to the preview, she's in the trunk for at least one moment.
And how old is she supposed to be? She's supposed to be the late 60s or early 70s?
She's probably late 50s, early 60s.
I don't mean Jane Lynch, but I mean the character.
Because his character is his age, so he's 35?
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And she's locked in the trunk. But she must keep forgetting why she's in there. Sorry. That was a horrible Alzheimer's joke. That's not a nice thing. I apologize.
The woman was abducted.
Right.
I mean, and she's got a little sympathy.
Yeah. It's like, just kill her a minute.
I'm sorry.
Gosh.
Oh my God. So heartless. But I thought, like, a sad moment, but it's kind of kind of sad was when, you know, Reed finally gets out of prison, and then we find out that Kat Adams has been involved. Then he has to go back to prison just to interrogate her.
He looked happy about it, though.
Oh, my gosh.
He was, like, on a mission. Didn't you see the look in his eye?
His moment in the round table room where he stood in front of the door and waited for a beat, and JJ said, "It's unlocked," and he was like, "Of course it is.
Yeah,
of course
that
it
was
is." That was, oh, that hurt.
Well, and he was only in prison for a few weeks, a couple months. But, you know, it shows how much, like, he's already been affected. Because even Tara said the moment when she was talking about Kat Adams, like, she's been in prison for 6 months. And that at that stage, you're already, like, somewhat delusional. And
she's been in prison
for
solitary.
Years. I think they said solitary for six months.
Yeah.
For 6 months.
That's an interesting fact, because I'm sure that must be true if they say it there. And it's like,
I believe it.
Wow. No, it must be true if they say it on TV. No, but I mean, in the show, I believe it. I think it's a true fact. That's crazy that people would get like that and start being delusional and stuff at 6 months in solitary.
Oh, absolutely. There's no windows. There's no light. Yeah. There's no sense of time anymore. You're completely isolated with your own thoughts. And if your thoughts are dark and twisted, or if you go down.
Like she is.
They'll get you alive. It's crazy.
I thought you meant like Miss Cullen is. You pointed to her when you said it. No, no, the character.
Call me Miss Cullen.
I'm sorry.
Weird, Miss Cullen. I was like, that is my mother.
It's just like, how dare you?
I'm sorry, ma'am.
Not what you
sorry,
said,
ma'am.
But how dare you address me that way?
What did you think of Prentice's moment when everyone's like questioning, is it a good idea to bring Reed back into prison and to do this interrogation? He's not in the right mental state. But what did you think of Prentice addressing everybody?
I loved it. I thought it showed authoritarianism.
Yes.
You don't see many moments with her like that. That's the only one I think that I remember seeing with her like that. And it was fantastic.
So good. She's been a leader this entire season, but this was such a prime example of leadership. She's led the team because she has to, and she's been really good at directing the BAU agents on the cases, but this was a moment where she was like, okay, this is my team, taking ownership, everyone take a beat, and then let it go.
Yeah, it was so different, because usually it's kind of like a matronly allowance of people to be, and she's got a lot of feeling and caring, and it works from a leadership perspective, but for her to go into that hawkish mode was kind of neat.
I think it also shows how like the rest of the team was kind of like doubting Reed's capacity, and Prentice wasn't, you know. She was like, I know Reed could do this. He's strong enough to be able to go into the prison system and, you know, be there, you know. So I was like, "Oh, go Prentice!"
Yeah, go Prentice. It was a great moment. Like, she had a lot of good moments in this episode when, you know, she faced the judge and she faced that AUSA Martinez guy's. When she's like, "Until proven otherwise, yes." I'm like, "Whoa, what?" And then talking to her own team to get rid of that self doubt. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and take a moment, take that moment of doubt and breathe, not forget it, and shut it out. Oh, so good.
And that's true leadership, is to go where you want them to go. So she, coming from that place of certainty, it was really powerful. That was neat.
Yep. It was. Yeah. But she brought up, like, the great point that, you know, I've been saying, that if you lose Diana, you lose Reed.
Yeah.
From the team forever. Do you really think that's true?
Yes.
Like, if Diana did die, do you think Reed would actually leave?
No.
I don't think he will either, because I think it's possible she might in the finale, you know. But I don't think that we would lose Reed forever.
Yeah, I think it'll take a really big toll on him, where he might have to take a break or somehow. But I feel like they always come back stronger than they were after a tragedy.
And he's also become tougher through his experience, so maybe you know.
That is true.
Yeah,
I don't think it would be forever.
Yeah, I don't think it'd be forever either. This could be getting into predictions territory. But overall, anything else about this episode? So good. Packed in 40 minutes, nonetheless. 40 minutes.
Good things come in small packages.
Yeah, exactly.
Serafini.
Why you call me out? I loved it, though. No, this was, and it was a perfect setup to the finale.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Two-parter. Definitely. To be continued. I'm like, oh, no. And I don't know if you guys noticed, this episode is called Green Light, and next episode is called Red Light.
Yes, I love when they do that.
I know.
Yeah, but red doesn't necessarily mean good.
Yeah.
No, I know.
Red means danger. Red means stop. red means something bad happens.
Right.
Yes.
And do you guys think something's going to bad? Something's going to bad in the next
something
episode.
Something is going to bad.
Say, who's smart? Smartness?
Smartness. My smartness is fine, all right? I just want to know if something's going to bad in the next episode. Who thinks something's going to bad happen?
Yeah, something bad's going to happen.
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it has to go downhill just to get better, you know?
Right.
So, yeah.
You can only go down to get up.
There you go.
You know?
Yeah.
I do have a little bit of news. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
AfterBuzz TV News.
So, I don't know if you guys noticed, but Padgett Brewster also appeared on Criminal Minds Beyond Borders episode that followed right after.
Oh, really?
This episode. Wow. Huh. But this episode was filmed back in the fall.
Was it a rerun or was it a...
No, it was a new episode, but they filmed, you know, Beyond Borders in the fall and they air it now. So you can definitely tell because the hair changed. Like, her hair was... like, now in this current... episodes of Criminal Minds regular, like, she has bangs, but in the earlier part of the season she didn't, so you can definitely tell this was filmed earlier. But it was nice to have a episode crossover.
So you've been watching it?
Fun.
A little bit, yes.
Okay, because I didn't know that you were watching it.
But I watched the episode to see if it was, like, in a way tying to this episode, you know, because you see these team members, like, line up with each
crossover,
other to give answers and stuff. But not so much, because the Beyond Borders episode was more of a one-off, and Prentice was just there to, like, set up the case. And
did you enjoy it?
I did.
Did you? Oh,
that's
cool.
She was only there for one scene. But it was there enough to, like, give the exposition to and the whole, you know, setting the whole team off to go on their case for that episode.
Nice. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's fun. That episode's called Type A in season 2 of Criminal Minds Beyond Borders. Go watch it. And then, yes, we all know Shamar Moore is coming back for the finale. We're very excited to have Derek Morgan back. But he's only back for the finale. But the actor has not shied away from saying there could be a possible return for season 13.
Ooh.
Yes. I mean, nothing's set in stone. Although, it likely wouldn't be a full-time run. Shamar says, we've already talked about several actors who, quote-unquote, left the show, only to return in full later. So
in full. I don't think any of their gigs are full-time runs anymore. I think they're like, minutes in this episode, here's your 10 minutes in this episode.
Well, Padgett Brewster left for a good few seasons, she was sprinkled here and there, and she came back full-time.
Well, we call it full-time,
Yeah. Didn't that happen to JJ too?
Yeah, that happened to JJ. Yep. After the outcry of the fans.
Would be sad if JJ left. That would be horrible.
Yeah, she was gone for most of season 6.
I might cry then.
That was a sad season. Because that was also the season where Padgett, Prentice, like, quote unquote, got killed. But for ratings, the Nielsen's rating, CBS, did really great on Wednesday night. The scoring of 1.4 rating viewers from the 18 to 49 demographic, the Nielsen rating, Criminal Minds grew 8% to 1.4.
Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Grew 8%. Does it say since
from
when?
From last week.
Huh.
Wow.
Last week.
It could just be the compelling... These are really compelling stories. Yeah. This is good. This whole arc with Reed in prison has been fantastic for the show, I think.
And I'm glad he's finally out.
I know.
Yes. I think I was talking to you guys, like, off air, that I was like, it's great he's in prison because it, you know, causes great drama, but also I feel like he was, like, one or two episodes in way too long.
Do you? Yeah. Well, you didn't want him to go in the first place. Come on,
No, I didn't. But I'm like, it got to the point where it's, like, already tired. And I'm like, all right, can we just get him out now?
So, I like it. It makes it grittier and it makes it bring a reality to it that I like. It's neat.
Yeah. But he's out.
And now he's out.
He's out. So that leads us to predictions.
And now,
I have to say that I think I predicted a long time ago that it wasn't Scratch. I'm just saying.
Did you? I don't remember.
I think you did.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're probably right.
But he might still be involved.
Smartness is winning.
Yeah. He might still be involved.
Yeah. And didn't we say at one time we wished that it would be cool if it was two people? We did say that. All of us did.
More than one. I think. But, I mean, if it's not Scratch in prison, technically it was someone in prison doing all this.
Yeah.
Someone got into the system. figuring this out.
It was it did seem that somebody was after him in prison, huh? Like, with that guard that was into things, or was that just a corrupt prison environment that would have been like that? Corrupt.
Yeah, I think.
Because there was that one, almost a throwaway line about having an inside man, and I think it was Lindsay Vonn's connection to Calvin Shaw who ran the prison.
Ah.
I think that's how it works.
Huh.
Because they didn't really go into it more, but then Calvin Shaw got transferred.
Interesting.
So I feel like that's what happened.
You think Lindsay's connected to Shaw?
Well, drug running.
Oh, yeah. It could be.
Okay.
Maybe.
Possibly.
Interacting with the drug cartel?
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense.
If he's floating drugs through prisons? Yeah,
you get a point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's true. there's a similarity there. I can see that.
Yeah.
So,
Karina, what did you think?
Do our predictions go for this, just the next episode then, or for the
finale? Okay. So, like, basic big questions, like, how did Kat Adams get, get a hold of Scratch, or even know her?
Or how'd they come together?
How did they even meet up to pull this off?
Yeah.
Well, I think it might have something to do with the drugs as well, because how could Kat have known Scratch's MO? That's what I'm still like, how? If it's supposed to be like top secret, you know? So right. Like, there has to be something there. Just don't know what
WikiLeaks?
WikiLeaks on Mr. Scratch.
Yeah. I don't know.
But I think the indication that XXXY definitely shows a male is involved.
Male and female.
Yeah. Yeah, but because if it's like two females, then why put XY just to throw you off?
I mean, in a way, I kind of saw that as like if Scratch really is not involved, I just thought that maybe Lindsay and Kat did that in order to mess him up. So they still think it's Scratch. Because when the XX and XY showed up, they still thought that Scratch was involved. So I thought maybe that's why
they
still did it.
And Kat said that she was making out like it was Scratch. She was trying to purposefully throw him off like that. So, okay, I'm going to make a prediction. My prediction is that Reed's mom is going to die, and it's going to massively hit Reed in a bad way. And normally he would leave, but his new prison toughness will keep him on the show full time rather than having him disappear. That's my prediction.
I really enjoyed this.
Thank you very much.
It reminded me of Psych because he always did that when he was making a. Anyway,
I predicted Diane is still going to die.
You predicted that last week.
Are you still standing by that prediction?
I do. I think it'd be really sad if they actually saved Diana and she still ended up dying at the end. But it wouldn't be at the hands of Kat Adams, or it might just be because of her health.
Could be.
It'd be an interesting turn and see how that actually affects Reed if it wasn't, he did everything he could to save her, when it comes to Fear Bureau and the actual agency, but it was actually something that he couldn't control, which was her health.
Is that your prediction?
Yeah, I think she's still gonna die because what else can they write for Diana?
Right.
If they use Mr. Scratch's drugs on Diana and she's already schizophrenic and has Alzheimer's, anything could happen with that situation.
It's dangerous.
I feel like that is a maybe prediction. Otherwise, it's Spencer is willing to sacrifice himself to save his mother, and his mother jumps in at the last minute.
And it takes
like a mother's protection.
Ooh.
Those are my scary. I think it could go one of those two ways, which means I'm conceding to the fact that Diana's going to die.
Wow. That's a lot of people saying that.
Yeah, I mean, now that everybody's saying that, I guess, I guess she's going to die.
If she lives, I'm sorry, Jane Lynch.
Dang.
Yeah, if she lives, I was on her side the whole time.
My only thing is, what else could they write for?
Yeah, who else are they going to kill? They got to kill somebody.
This is such a big, storyline for this character. You can't do anything more. That'd be way more interesting. I'm sorry.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't they have to kill somebody in the finale? Or, I mean, I guess it could be some other big cliffhanger or something, but it just seems like...
I think something.
It's got to be shocking.
Ooh. What? You're thinking, yes? Whoa. Yes, Karina.
Yes. Okay, because showed that there was a car accident and stuff, what if Diana, since she was in the trunk, they actually hit her and that's how she dies?
Ooh, that's also dark.
Right.
I mean, granted, this
because
is
if she's
show.
In the trunk and they show that they might.
Who said something about a car accident? Did we hear that?
Wasn't that on the preview?
Oh, we heard in the preview for the next week there was a car accident?
Well, there was like a truck.
She was in the truck.
No, but then wasn't there a truck that was like.
Oh, there was a truck. I don't know if that was the same moment, but there was a truck barreling toward
coming at the screen.
Somebody's either going to get in a car accident or maybe Diana dies there.
Wow. So your prediction is she's going to die by a truck.
I feel like this is turning to prediction time for how Diana's going to die.
How is she going to die?
I've got two.
I think from her own medical health, she'll die.
Did you lock it?
Yeah, I say that she's I think that's a very good prediction that she'll get hit by the truck. I think that it's going to be just the bad guys will kill her. I can't lock in. I'm not that good to be able to lock that in like that. Any better?
I will say now I want to go back before next Wednesday and watch Kat Adams' episode again. Because was so dialogue-driven. That was them sitting at the table
for a long time.
For most of the episode, talking. So any details might be hidden in there.
Mm. Yeah. And to see this whole new interrogation go down, because Reed, he went in with, you know, motivation and a mission. But he's right. Not in the same mental state he was when he first outsmarted her.
And he's tricky now.
Yep. Yeah, but like she's also tricky.
Yeah, but he's been in prison. Well, so does she. But what was her beef with him? It was because this is from a previous season.
Yeah,
her beef was
okay. So he outsmarted her, thinking that he tracked down her father, and she has daddy issues too.
Yep.
And then we found out when she went to go see her quote unquote father, he wasn't there, and that was just a ruse to get her.
So she's super brilliant too, right?
She's super brilliant. She was the only surviving member of the four hitmen that were trying to take Garcia down.
Got it.
Yeah. And she didn't die like the other ones. She just went to prison.
So it's Garcia's fault that Reed got set up.
No.
Okay.
No. Okay. Before this gets way more confusing than it already is. More answers or more to be found, more questions to be answered. In the meantime, where can we follow you?
Chris Howard, at Chris Howard Live, Twitter, Instagram.
And you guys can find me at Karina XVRGS on Twitter and Instagram.
And you can find me on Twitter at @Michelle_Cullen.
You can follow me on Twitter at @SerafiniTV. You can follow all of us here, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. All those fun social media platforms at AfterBuzzTV. Keep rating, keep commenting, keep subscribing. We only have one more episode left of this season. A lot more to happen. I cannot wait. So we'll see you next time for the finale.
Bye.
Ciao.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.